I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
God, we come before you again and give you thanks and praise you for the amazing gifts you've given to us, for the opportunity to share in the ministry of Jesus Christ in this world today and every day of our lives. So guide us, Lord, as a church, as a people, to use all that you've given to us for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. You be seated. Now, as we prepare for our sermon, I want to pass out those cards again that we passed out last week. And this week, I think I got it right. On this side is evangelism, because that's what we're talking about. And on this side is non-evangelism, okay? And so when you get a card, it's going to have something on there, as you know from last week, like this says, audiovisual for worship. Is that evangelistic or evangelism, or is it really not something that's evangelistic? Okay? Now, I want to warn everybody, and hopefully as we talk about this in the sermon today, okay, everything on this list could be possibly evangelistic, okay? So use your critical mind a little bit, because, like, for example, what mind? Except for Bill. All right? But the talent show, okay? Now, yes, could it be used for evangelism? Could it, you know, sure. But is it really something that is evangelistic in nature? It's a lot of fun. So use your critical mind as you look at this to think about it, and also as we talk about it in the sermon. And in the closing hymn, I'll ask you again to go up and place them on the respective boards. Evangelism on this side, non-evangelistic or evangelism on that side. So take those and take one and pass it around. What?
Those who weren't here last week.
Turn you around. See, there's posters on the back wall. There's evangelism on this side. There's non-evangelism on this side. And during the last hymn, I'm going to invite you to take your card and walk up and decide where you want to put that card. Okay? So depending on what you have. And I have some samples back there that I kind of thought would be good, and I can't remember what I put up there. But they're back there. So I'll ask you during the last hymn to think about that during the sermon. So. Okay, sunrise service and breakfast is evangelistic.
Raising money.
Now again, sure, we need money to do evangelism, but it's really something that we do together to do the ministry. So, all right. So use again your critical thinking as you think about that. If you have questions about what the item is, well, kind of talk. Think about it. Make it up. Our lesson today is from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. If you confess that the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved. The scripture said, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. This includes everyone, because there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. God is the same Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. As the scripture says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. But how can we call to him for help if we have not believed? And how can they believe if they have not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? And how can the message be proclaimed if the messengers are not sent? As the scripture says, how wonderful is the coming of the messengers who brings good news. Now again, up on the screen is that banner that we looked at last week of evangelism, the proclamation of the gospel of salvation. And what we'll be doing through the next few weeks, 6 weeks as a matter of fact, is looking at the great ends of the church. It was 6 items that were developed by the North American Presbyterian Church back in 1910. And it kind of just gave the outline what the church is to be about. And the first one is this proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind. And the banner that has been developed over the years here shows the dove, it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Bible, which has the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And in the background is the cross, that Christ died for our sins. And theologically, it is the Holy Spirit through this revelation that convicts us and brings us to faith through Jesus Christ. So that's why we have those elements in that picture. But as we begin to talk about this proclamation, what I like to do is elicit from you, when you hear the word evangelist, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody have one? Billy Graham. What else?
Testimony.
Testimony. What else? Who else do you think of as an evangelist? A pastor. What?
Oh, John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Dwight Moody.
Dwight Moody. All great people, and I'm sure we have a lot more, but, you know, Billy Graham, John the Baptist, the pastor, Dwight Moody, all these quote-unquote evangelists. Now, there's a problem with that. How many of you out there feel that you are like Billy Graham? How many of you want to be like John the Baptist? Eating locusts and running around in, you know, camel's hair. How many of you want to be like me? Let's not go there. But we have this mentality about being an evangelist as being somebody else who is out there, who preaches, who brings all these people together and preaches the gospel. And according to the Bible, and particularly the scriptures that we read today, an evangelist is not just that kind of person. An evangelist is all of us. We are all called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just somebody up front in a pulpit. It's not just my job or Billy Graham's job or our job to say, hey, you should go listen to Dwight Moody or Billy Graham or some other evangelist. We have this amazing privilege and responsibility, and at the same time, probably could say a terrifying responsibility to share our faith. Now, one of the things we need to look at is our scripture to talk about is in the first part, Paul talks about, he says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is in your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith that you are saved. The beginning of us being able to share the gospel and proclaim the gospel is that we need to believe it. We need to be part of that group. We need to be able, people who testify, somebody said testimony when we were talking about it, having a testimony of our faith as we walk in Christ. You know, the best way I can illustrate this is, you know me as a person who loves Macintosh computers. I have since 1986. And if you want to talk about Macintosh computers, I'm going to tell you all about them. If you ask me about window-based computers, don't like them, won't use them. You know, I just whatever reason. But I am a Mac evangelist. I'm sold on that.
And the idea is the same is true. If we don't have this true faith in Christ, then we're not going to be real excited about sharing that. Just as I'm not real excited about sharing about the virtues of a window-based computer. So we have to be part of that. And so the first question that Paul brings up in Romans 10 is, have you believed, have in your heart, and have you confessed with your mouth that you believe in Jesus Christ? And that certainly is a decision and a choice that you, all of us, need to reflect on and to make. Because in order for us to proclaim the second part of what Paul says here, how then can who they're called believe? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Now, again, when we hear the word preach, we automatically look this way into this little area. And really, the proclamation, I like that word when they use that, that proclamation, that preaching, that evangelism that we are called to do is really right down to the core, sharing your story. It's not getting up and preaching a sermon. It also, I find interesting, is not apologetics. All right? Now, what apologetics is defending our faith, proving that Christianity is true, okay? And there's a place for that. And unfortunately, particularly as a minister, when people find out I'm a minister, they tend to ask me those impossible questions. Like, why is there war? If God's so powerful, why do people die? Why do children die? Or, you know, do dogs go to heaven? You find yourself struggling, they answer those questions in apologetics. That's not really what we're talking about today. We're not talking about you being a theologian expert on the theology of, you know, salvation and end times and whatever it might be. That's not confessing. That's not being an evangelist. It is about your story, your good news. And I think all of us have some good news about our faith in Christ and our walk with Christ. Some of us may have struggled and had difficult times, but even from that, we find ourselves giving some sense of good news about who we are and what we believe. And so for us to be this evangelist, it's all of us. And it's all of us being willing to share the story of our faith and what Christ has done for us. Now, there's multiple ways of doing that. I have a really good friend, Andy, who worked with my youth program for a while. This guy had the gift of evangelism, okay? He was the kind of the Billy Graham kind of person. He would meet somebody in a pizza shop, sit down, share a pizza with them, and share the gospel of Christ, and those people would accept Christ as their Savior. Never met them before, didn't know who they were. He just had this amazing ability, this gift to do that. Don't ever ask me to do that. Okay? Usually when I get a pizza, I go and get my pizza and I leave. All right? I don't talk to other people. And it's not to mean that I don't believe in what he does. It's just that he has this amazing ability. For a lot of us, those kind of cold call evangelism, that's hard. We don't do that. But all of us, again, have a story. We have a journey in which we have seen God at work in our lives. And it's good news. I mean, we have no problem sharing, you know, funny stories or days when, you know, a day went well, telling people about that. There's a time where we can share with friends and families this gospel, this good news that has happened to us in our lives. But also, there's another level to it. We proclaim with our words, but as we talked about in the children's sermon, we also proclaim with our actions. And how we live.
Now, sometimes we've got kind of turned around. We think that our actions does the proclamation. If I'm a nice person, if I help out with Habitat for Humanity, or if I volunteer at the food cupboard or the soup kitchen, that makes me, that's my proclamation. That's my gospel message. Well, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but you got to couple that somehow with words. People can't just walk away and look at you and say, gee, she's a nice person. That's not a bad thing. I like that. But also, if we're going to proclaim the salvation of Christ that Paul talks about, we need to use some words. And there's a wonderful story I heard about a guy named Mick. Mick was a typical person who grew up in a church. He went to church every Sunday with his family. They went to youth group, you know, and they was involved. And he would probably have told somebody, yes, I believe in Jesus. But as he went to college, he kind of drifted away. Stopped going to church, stopped being involved in church, ended up, you know, getting a job, having a family, and just never really reconnected with the church and church life and his faith. And then one of the things he started doing was he became, one of his hobbies was being a basketball referee. And he really had a passion for that, but it was kind of a negative passion. When somebody would question his call, particularly a coach, he would get into their face and really argue. The ref would argue with the coach about the call. And he would get furious and angry and frustrated and, you know, do all those things. And he had a buddy, Charlie, that they would ref together a lot. And, you know, Mick and Charlie would do this, and then after the games, they would ride in their cars back, and they would kind of debrief about what happened at the game. And, you know, Mick would always just get really colorful in language and frustrated and angry about the way people treated him and this and that. And they were just, you know, it was just kind of a rough guy. But as Mick's life went on, he became convicted about his life and his faith, and rededicated his life to Christ, returned to church, returned to, you know, praying and being faithful to Christ and following him. And also his attitude as a ref changed. He no longer was so confrontive and argumentative with everybody. He called a good game still. Finally, one day after a really hard and tenuous game, it was kind of a playoff game that he and Charlie were doing, they were driving home and talking about it, and finally Charlie stopped the car, or pulled it over, stopped the car, and looked at Mick and said, all right, what's going on? That was the time for Mick to share his faith with words. Up to that point, his change of life was preaching a message, and Charlie wanted to know about it. And so Mick shared with him what God did through Christ with him. And through that, Charlie became a Christian as well. This is real proclamation for the salvation of humankind. For us, through our lives and actions and our words, to be able to share with other people why this is such good news. Now, there's a book out that kind of outlines all these six great ends. And one part of the book about the evangelism, Catherine Gomez, she writes this quote about sometimes our reluctance in preaching the gospel. And for her, she says one of the reluctance that we have is that we're not real sure that we want those people to be in church with us. That people who need that life-changing event in their lives, we're not real sure that we want them to be in us, to be a part of us. She writes, she says this. We see, I'll back up here. For instance, a church who has a soup kitchen or a night shelter may assume its mission is to meet the physical and even social needs of the people who come. But the thought that they might become members of our congregation was not part of their agenda. Why? Were we to see the gospel radically transform their lives, what effect would it have on our own faith? Often our rationale is that they, those people who come, would not be comfortable in our worship.
But it's probably equally true that we are the ones that would not be comfortable. Why? Would we be uncomfortable with those for whom the gospel has been a matter of life and death, for whom it has caused an enormous transformation? Might we wonder why the gospel has not had such a great effect on our own lives? Do we really expect that the gospel can transform lives? Do our own lives need transformation by the gospel? What would that look like? All these questions that a congregation needs to struggle with when it asks who the people are to whom it is proclaimed the gospel. To witness, to proclaim, is to risk being changed ourselves. If faith has no power in the lives of others, then there is no point in proclaiming it. If it does have great power, we must be ready to have that power unleashed in our own lives. So not only is somebody else going to hear the power of the gospel, but also our lives become transformed by it as well. So our first end of the church is to be evangelists. Okay? Our first end of the church is to be people sharing our story in our actions and with our words to those around us. Let us pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that we have this opportunity, sometimes terrifying, sometimes overwhelming opportunity, to share the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, the good news that we have experienced in our own lives. Lord, help us most of all to be aware of those times and places and opportunities that we have to share this message, to share the love of Christ, so that it has great effect, not only on those whom we share it with, but also on us. For all this, we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and affirm our faith in this gospel that we believe in.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.